Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. And I do appreciate your faithfulness to listen day by day. Always helps if you throw a word out there through a rating our podcast, reviewing it. Now, listen, if you're going to give it a low rating, don't rate it. But no, all seriousness, all of that drives the traffic and helps more people to hear the word of God. So appreciate your help in that matter. We're in Luke chapter 11. Caleb, thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah,
we are talking about prayer. And I think, Caleb, you and I both agreed last episode that prayer is a struggle for most believers.
For sure. It is, as the saying goes, the struggle is real. And it's just so true when it comes to the prayer life. And we kind of summed it up in the fact that most of our prayers tend to be self-centered rather than spirit-filled. And we just saw that theme the whole way through the first four verses. And what a great challenge we were left with last podcast.
Right. And some great examples of biblical prayers are like the prayers of the Apostle Paul. You see the prayer in Colossians 1 or the prayer in Ephesians 3. Great examples of how Bible prayers center on God, on his greatness. Center on our spiritual needs as being much more important than our physical needs. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. One of the greatest ways that Jesus would teach or help people to understand a teaching was to use a story. Mm-hmm. So he'd been asked in Luke chapter 11 to teach his disciples how to pray. He does that, but then in that teaching, he gives a great illustration, a story as an illustration. So I want to read the story, and then let's see if we can understand what the Lord was doing by sharing it. Verse 5 of chapter 11, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that's a word that means much asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let me read the last part, my friends. I know it's a longer passage, but listen to verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So a couple things that stand out to me immediately, Caleb, I want you to speak on this as well. First of all, the Lord gives an illustration, and he begins the illustration by asking a question. So he says to his audience, so, hey, which of you, if this happened in your life, so a question always makes us think and demands an answer. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, when he would teach, would ask questions because he wants us to come to the conclusion ourselves through understanding the rationale behind it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I see. The second thing is that Jesus is speaking to a really important issue back in Bible days, and that's the issue of hospitality. So in order for us to understand the passage, we have to understand the importance of hospitality in those days.
Right, yeah, and we spoke a little bit about this hospitality a few podcasts ago, but really in the Middle Eastern culture, hospitality is one of the the biggest things in a family's life. And for somebody to be a good host would to bring honor to a family. But if somebody were not a good host, and as we see in this passage, an example would not be having food for somebody to eat when they came through, that would bring some shame to the family. And it meant everything to them to be able to be a good host, because if they weren't a good host, then they weren't being honorable. And so this story definitely would have hit home to these people and would be very relevant to their lives.
So what the passage is not teaching, my friends, it's not teaching that, okay, God wants you to, he's going to listen to you only if you beg and beg and beg and beg and beg. And if you'll beg and beg and beg, then finally God will answer your prayer, as if God's this reluctant father that really doesn't want to help you. But if you bug him enough, if you nag him enough, maybe he will. That's not what the passage is teaching at all. What the passage is teaching is, prayer sometimes is the means by which your need is purified. And what I mean by that is this something you really need? Is this something that's really important? So for this man back in those days, a friend came to his house. He didn't have anything to give him. That was a big social no-no. You would do anything you could. I mean, that's shameful not to be able to provide hospitality and care for someone coming to your house. So which of you having this friend will go to another friend and take no for an answer? No, you're not taking no for an answer because you know how desperately this need needs to be met. So the prayer itself is purifying your motive for asking. Is this legitimate? Yeah. So how many times have I come to the Lord and prayed about something? And even as I'm praying, I'm like, this is kind of not really something I need. This is not really something that's that important. It's really something I want. And just I give up on praying because I realize in the process of prayer, this really isn't something I need. This is not something that's really important. So I think sometimes the Lord allows there to be an extenuated time frame to purify our motives in asking.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, think through your own prayer list. And, there might be things that have been there for a while. I tend to get in a phase sometimes in my prayer life where I have a lot of those, this is a want, so I'm going to pray about this today and tomorrow. He didn't give it to me. Oh, well. And we kind of understand, well, maybe I didn't have the right motive in that. But you hear stories of people, praying years and years for a friend, for a loved one, for an illness, for a family situation. And sometimes, as you stated, God allows those things to come about to purify some of our motives and saying, what do you really want me to do? And is this just for your own glory? Is this for my own glory?
And think about the verbiage that the Lord uses as an application of the story. So I say to you, ask, keep on asking. It really is the idea of the verb. Seek, keep on seeking. Seek and don't stop seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. So picture this man at the door of his friend at midnight, who's already asleep in bed, and he's pounding on the door. He's willing to go through embarrassment. He's willing to inconvenience. He's willing, why? Because the need was so great. He wasn't going to stop asking. He wasn't going to stop seeking. He was going to stop knocking until he got that answer. So my question to each one of us, I guess, is what's that prayer you're not giving up on? What's that request that's so important? Hey, I'm not going to stop until I see an answer here. It may, that lost loved one. That special spiritual need in your life. What is that? See, prayer purifies the motive for asking.
That's so good.
So in verse 10, the promise is just as sure as the condition, because he says, everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So God gives the promise that a person that practices this kind of importunity, this kind of urgency and authenticity in praying, is going to be a person that sees answers to prayer.
Yeah. And And I think sometimes what happens is when we pray for something so long, God purifies our motive, and we and as the psalmist said, as we delight ourselves in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll answer this prayer, and I think sometimes he ends up answering it differently than we originally would have asked.
Sure.
But we're okay with it because he's purified our motives, and he sees that need in our life.
I think that the wonderful part about this story, that to me at least, is that the Lord Jesus, at the end of the passage we read a moment ago, really speaks to the heart of the Father. Because he says in verse 11, "So if a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone?" So dads, you know, if your son has a real need, like bread, are you going to give him something that looks like bread? A stone kind of looks like a loaf of bread. You're going to bait and switch him and give him something that doesn't help him? Of course not. I mean, how cruel would that be to do that? Then the Bible says, or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? You know, you could say a fish and a snake, look at them real quickly, they look similar. He's not going to bait and switch him. He's going to give him the real thing. Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? A scorpion, when it's curled up, might look like a little egg. Of course not.
Yeah.
He's going to give him the real thing. So don't think that your Heavenly Father is in heaven, you know, trying to bait and switch you. Don't think that your Heavenly Father is in heaven with any less of a motive than a father who loves his child would have. Mm. So Jesus is speaking to the first part of the teaching. So this can't be separated from the teaching we learned last episode, and that is, yep, this is our Father.
Exactly.
Who loves us.
Right. Yeah, and when we come to him, to know that he already knows what is best for us. And sometimes it just takes a season for us to learn, you know, his heart is, he still loves us. He still cares for us. It's not that, as we stated before, it's not like he's purposely holding out on our prayer. No, but he wants us to come to the same conclusion that he knows what's best, and he's going to give us the real thing.
No, that's good. The last verse, if ye then being evil. So you're not holy. You're not all goodness and love as God is. You're evil. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, even you get this, how much more? I love that. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them to ask him? So it's a wonderful application, because Jesus uses a physical application of sinful man. So sinful man is willing to give physical food to his children. And then God says, okay, then Jesus says, so let me talk about the eternal loving God who can give us something far greater and far more long-lasting and eternally beneficial than food, the Holy Spirit himself. So the whole teaching comes full circle, doesn't it?
It does.
Prayer is about God, not about me. And it's about spiritual needs, not about physical needs, primarily. And the last verse brings all of that right back into focus, doesn't it?
Right. I just can't imagine the faces of these people. What else are you going to say after that? I mean, it's a rhetorical question. When we're struggling in our own prayer life and it feels as if God's not answering our prayer, or it feels like we're just getting nowhere, we're just talking to a blank slate, just remember this, what Jesus had said. He said, hey, it's not like I don't want to give you anything. You know, how much more do I care and love about you? I knew you before you were even born. You know, I want to give my spirit to you. But as we said, we have to pray with the Spirit.
So teach us to pray. All of this was an answer to that question. Teach us to pray. And what Jesus did is, yes, he taught us a little bit about praying, but he taught us a whole lot more about the character of his Father. Mm. Because when the relationship's right, prayer is going to be a natural response in the heart of a believer. And I hope that makes sense to you, my friends. I do appreciate you joining us today. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. I look forward to talking to you next episode. God bless you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.